This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, praise God. This is Healing Sunday. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, somebody say faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. So today I want to minister to you a powerful message on speaking God's word for your healing. Amen. And I believe that when we start learning how to speak God's word for our healing, we will see miraculous healing go forth in our lives. Amen. And so I believe this, that we can operate in great grace. And great grace is what the apostles operated in the New Testament. And they operated in great grace, and they saw signs, wonders, and miracles. And I believe as Christians, we should be seeing signs, wonders, and miracles, not just on Sunday mornings. Amen. But we should be seeing them every day in our lives. Amen. Somebody say, Jesus is a miracle working Jesus. Amen. And I believe he's working miracles in our lives every day if we believe that. Amen. You know, in Acts 4:33, we know in the book of Acts, there was great power in the church. And it says in Acts 4:33, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Notice how great power was produced by the apostles giving witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we give witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ with our words, especially with what he did by going to the cross, receiving stripes on his body, surely Jesus bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. When we focus on what he has done on the cross through our words, we will release resurrection healing power in our lives. Do you believe that today? And so we need to be releasing that. And as we release, as we talk about what Jesus has done, as we focus on him receiving stripes on his body for our healing, as we focus on that, we will see more healing in our lives. It's what you focus on. See, what the devil wants you to do is focus on what you're dealing with. Have you ever dealt with sickness in here? And all you can think of is what you're dealing with, that symptom that's in your body. It's there, it's present. But you need to transcend your thinking and your focus, not on that, but on the stripes of Jesus. The Bible says that Abraham, he was old, and the Lord said that he was going to have a child at 100 years old. And the Bible said that Abraham did not focus on the weakness of his body or the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he focused on the promises of God. And I'm going to say this, you're going to receive a healing when you focus on what Jesus has done on the cross for you. Can I get a witness in the house today? So I like this because this is probably a really main scripture on speaking the word for your healing. It's a great scripture. You should have this in your arsenal. In Revelation 12:11, it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives even to death. That means that they were willing to give their lives for the calling of God in their lives. And I'm telling you, you can't start living for Jesus until you're willing to die for Jesus. I'm going to say that again. You can't start living for Jesus until you're willing to give your life up for Jesus. I know that's pretty hard this morning. Amen. Glory to God. But you got to be willing to lay it all down and lay it on the line for Jesus. The first scripture says we overcome by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus shed purges our sins and puts us in right relationship with God. This is powerful. If we're going to speak the word of God for our healing, we got to understand what Jesus did on the cross. And we know that his blood purges us from not some unrighteousness, but can somebody say all unrighteousness? That's good news today, because I'm not looking at sinners today. Oh, I'm going somewhere this morning. I'm not looking at a bunch of sinners in this church. I'm looking at righteous people. You are righteous. You're not sinners saved by grace. No, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're new creations in Christ. Old things are passed away and new things has come. So you're not just some old sinner saved by grace. Amen. There's a lot of theology out there. And you have preachers say, well, we're just sinners. So no, if you're a sinner, you're either a sinner or a saint. Pick one. And I'm going to pick saint. The Apostle Paul wrote in his letters to the saints who are at Ephesus, to the saints that in Colossae, to the saints. He didn't say to the sinners. So I'm looking at righteous people today. Why are you righteous? Not because you're so good. It's because he is so good. That's why you're righteous. Because of his blood. His blood makes you righteous. Say, I have faith in the blood. Amen. You got to have faith in the blood of Jesus. Look at this scripture. This is a powerful scripture in Hebrews. This is powerful. It says here, not with blood of goats and calves. That's how they used to do the old sacrifices back in the Old Testament. But with his own blood, he entered in the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. That's a powerful scripture right there. So, you know, it's not by the blood of bulls and goats. No, Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of the world. And I'm telling you, he's the ultimate sacrifice. He's the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Amen. Amen. That was slain from the foundation of the world so that we could have right standing with God. Notice it says this, that he obtained eternal redemption. Somebody say, I have eternal redemption. You got to believe that this morning. You have eternal redemption. So we are redeemed. This means that the blood of Jesus was the payment for us to have a redemption and a relationship with Jesus and God the Father. Because we have that relationship, I believe this causes God to pay attention to our words. Amen. In other words, we are a covenant God. The Bible says that Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Amen. And so if he's the high priest, he takes what we say about ourselves, and if we're quoting scriptures, Jesus makes it come to pass in our lives. We have scriptures out there, healing scriptures. And I'm telling you, you may say, Pastor, I'm not sick. Wait. Amen. Yeah, just wait. Just wait. An opportunity might come near your door. It just might come. The devil will come to test you. And you may not be sick today, but there might be something down the road. And you got to be ready. You got to be locked and loaded for the enemy. Amen. And so we overcome sickness not only by the blood. We have faith in the blood of Jesus. Amen. We have faith in the blood. But we also overcome by the word of our testimony. That's powerful. So what are you testifying about in your life? Are you testifying about the weaknesses and the sicknesses that you're dealing with? Is that your testimony? Or are you testifying about the greatness and the goodness of Jesus and what he has done for you at the crucifixion? We're either going to be testifying about our weaknesses or we're going to be testifying about Jesus' stripes. And I don't know about you, but I want to be testifying about Jesus' stripes. Because whatever you testify, whatever you talk about, that becomes real in your life. And I want to talk about Jesus and his sacrifice. Amen. I want to talk about what he has done for us and not what the devil's trying to do to me. Amen. Because the devil will come. And he will try to steal, kill, and to destroy. But be of good cheer. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world, and you can overcome the world. So again, what you confess in this life is what you're going to possess. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Confession brings possession into our life. So I want to be confessing the Word of God over every circumstance and situation in my life. I like what it says in Isaiah. And this is powerful. It says here in Isaiah 54:17, another scripture you can put in your arsenal. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Notice this, it says, these are words. Every tongue that rises against you. The devil uses words to come against us. Amen. Then he says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and our righteousness is from me, says the Lord. This is a powerful scripture that we should be standing on when we're dealing with physical attacks in our life. Notice this, no weapon. Somebody say this, no weapon formed against my relationships, formed against my health, formed against my finances, shall prosper in Jesus' name. Now, when you start boldly declaring God's word over your circumstances, God will back your word up with angelic power. I'm going to say again, he will back your word up with angelic power. The Bible says in Psalms 103, verse 20, that the angels hearken to the voice of God's word coming through your mouth. So you have angelic powers at your beck and call. Somebody say, I believe that. You got to believe that you have more going for you than what the devil has going for him. I'm going to say again, you got to believe you got more going for you than what the devil has. And I'm going to say this, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. In other words, the enemy may mean harm in our life, but God will turn it around for good. Notice this. I don't know if you remember the story of Joseph. And Joseph had dreams that the sun and the moon and the stars was going to bow to him. I don't know if you remember this, but Joseph was talking about his dreams to his brothers and to his father. And Joseph's brothers got jealous over Joseph, and they threw him in a pit, and they said, let's see what his dreams are going to turn out to be. In other words, they were speaking destructive words over Joseph, but even those destructive words could not hold water. In other words, Joseph ended up being the prime minister of Egypt and ruling and reigning, and they all ended up bowing down before him. So no matter what people say about you, what's really important is what is God saying about you? Because you could have people say a lot of things about you, but the most powerful thing is what is God saying about you? Amen. And those negative words cannot hold water as long as you're standing on the Word of God. Amen. So I love this. So every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. You shall condemn. So the enemy works through speaking words against us to get us into judgment. I'm going to say it again. The enemy works through speaking words against us. And how does he do that? Well, if he can give you a thought and then you speak that thought out and it's a negative thought about yourself, about your family, if it's a negative thought, if you're speaking those thoughts out, then you're giving the devil access and you're giving him power to bring your life down. I'm not going to give the devil access and power to bring my life down. I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to do is what the Bible teaches. When you have a wrong thought, you're not going to make it. When you have a wrong thought, you're going to die early. When you have a wrong thought, you're going to have to cast down those imaginations and those high things that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And you have to bring to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You have to learn to control your thinking. You have to learn to control, and if you can control your thinking, you can control the words that come out of your mouth. Amen. So what is the enemy trying to do? He's trying to condemn us with accusing words. The devil is constantly trying to accuse and condemn us and to get us to believe what he's saying about us is true. And I'm going to say this. There's no losers in Jesus Christ. There's only winners. Amen. Amen. And you guys are winners and not losers. And I like this. It says here in the last verse, this is the heritage of servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord. Our heritage gives us two powerful blessings. Number one, the right to condemn negative words in our lives by us lining our words up with God's words. That's our heritage. Amen? And number two, we have the gift of righteousness, and because Jesus has bought and paid with it by his blood, this gives us the powerful way of speaking to our circumstances and commanding them to go. The gift of righteousness gives us a power and the right to speak faithful words that God will back every time. Somebody say, I believe that. I believe that. Every word is sickness and poverty and death is null and void in my life. Amen. As long as you believe that. Somebody say that. Every word of sickness, poverty, and death is null and void in my life. Amen. So the devil will try to use words to curse us. He will try to do that through people. He will try to do that through our thoughts. He will try to get us to think the wrong things and speak the wrong things. But if you're meditating on the Word of God and you're allowing that Word of God to be in your mind, it's eventually what you think on, you're going to speak on. And I'm going to think on what Jesus, I'm going to think on what's good, what's pure, what's holy, what's of good report. The Bible says, think on those things. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. In the Old Testament, Balaam, the enemies of God, wanted to curse the children of Israel. Balaam was a Moabite king. And Israel was taking more and more territory back in the day. I'm sorry, Balak was a Moabite king. Balaam was the prophet. Balaam, the prophet, had powerful words. And Balak, the king of the Moabites, knew that that Balaam was powerful in speaking words, and what Balaam said would come to pass. Balaam had a connection with God. And so Balak came to Balaam, and Balak said to Balak, Balak, it sounds like something from Star Trek, doesn't it? And Balak. And Balak said, if you will curse the children of Israel for me, I'll give you gold and riches. Think about this. And Balaam wanted the gold and riches. So Balaam couldn't speak anything negative unless he consulted with God first. Amen. And so this is what it says in Numbers 22, 10 and 12. So Balaam said to God, now he's praying to God because he wants to curse the children of Israel for Balak so he can get all this money. And Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent me saying, look at the people, has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. You see, the point that I'm making, what God has blessed, you cannot be cursed. And then if you study out the story of Balaam and Balak, Balak kept trying to get Balaam to speak curses, and Balaam would go on a high mountain, and when he spoke, he could only speak what God told him to speak, and it was always a blessing over the Israelites. And Balak kept getting upset. But this man couldn't speak what God wouldn't allow him to speak. Because if he tried to speak a curse, that curse would roll back on him. So you got to be very careful that you're not cursing your enemies. You're praying for them. Amen. You want to make very careful you're not cursing the people that are getting on your nerves. You need to be praying for them. Amen. Hallelujah. Keep looking ahead. Don't look at your neighbor. Amen. And you got to make sure that you're not cursing. The Bible says, bless and curse not. So you can have a blessing, another way, a powerful way of speaking to your diseases, to the, anything that's attacking your body, is by blessing your body, blessing your life, blessing your family, glory to God. I like this, what it says in Proverbs 18:20. It says here, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. That's powerful. In other words, you're going to eat what you say. Have you ever heard that saying, you'll eat your words? Well, that's very biblical. That's very biblical. I really believe it comes from this scripture. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, and from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. In Proverbs 18:20, the New Living Translation says, wise words satisfies like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. Amen. So we can see here, these are powerful scriptures that's telling us that really you are the architect of your life through the words that you speak. I'm going to say it again. You are the architect of your life. So your blueprint is the words that you say. Everything you said yesterday is what you have today. And what you're doing today is because of what you spoke yesterday. Praise the Lord. Can I get away? That went over like a lead balloon today. Amen. So I like this scripture here. It says here, death and life, this is Proverbs 18:20, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Amen. In other words, you have power to produce death and life in your words. Words are like seeds, and our heart is like soil. Amen. And so words spoken on a continual basis is like seed being planted in the soil of your heart, and pretty soon it will produce a harvest. My question to you today is, what are you planting in the soil of your heart? What are you planting every day? Hopefully you're planting good words, good seed words, and not bad seed words. Glory to God. Because I'm going to say this, we have a tendency to be more negative than positive. We have a tendency to focus on the negative. If you watch the news, most of it's negative. You don't hear a lot of positive things in the news. And people are drawn to negative. That's the world system. The world system is drawn to negative and gossip and what is this person doing wrong and what's that person doing wrong and all that. That's what the world is geared to. But we're geared to seeing what's being done right. Amen. I love that. And I like this, that because your words are seed, you got to realize that seed planted in the soil of your heart will produce. In Matthew, Jesus talks about this. In Matthew 33 through 37, Jesus is speaking. He says, make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood and vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Well, we see here that Jesus wasn't trying to win a popularity contest. He wasn't trying to win friends and influence people. He was telling them they're broods and vipers. Why? Because their hearts were wrong. And if your heart's wrong, then your words are going to be wrong. But they were trying to speak the right words with wrong heart motives. Amen. And so Jesus was saying it doesn't work that way. Then he says here, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, what you've been thinking on and what you've been speaking or what you've been meditating on will eventually come out of your mouth. A good man out of good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of evil treasure brings forth evil things. And then he goes on to say this. So as you are here today, let me just say it this way. I'm planting words into the soil of your hearts today. And those words, as long as you receive it with a yes and amen, that you are the righteousness of God, that you have the power to speak words like the Son of God and see results. As long as you're receiving that, you're going to be better off down the road. Can I get a witness in the house today? So Jesus actually says this way, but I say to you, for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account in the day of judgment. So our words are powerful. And so he's saying an idle word is an unproductive word. We don't want to be speaking unproductive words. The Bible actually says those that speak a lot sin a lot. I'm paraphrasing it, but if you're talking a lot, you probably have a problem. You're going to have a problem with gossip, or you're going to have a problem with bragging. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? If you're talking a lot, you're going to have a problem with gossip or bragging or both. Amen? He says here, for by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Powerful. So we see here Jesus talking about he's talking about trees and fruit at the beginning of the verse. And Jesus is comparing people to trees that produce either good fruit or bad fruit. Somebody say this, I'm a good fruit-bearing Christian. Amen. You want to be a good fruit-bearing Christian. Amen. And it all starts with our thinking, and it comes out through our mouths. We have the ability to produce good fruit or bad fruit in our lives, and it's dependent on what we think about and what we say on a daily basis. Are you getting it this morning? Good fruit is produced through us planting good things in the soil of our hearts. Bad fruit is produced by us planting bad things in our heart. Notice it says here, a good man out of a good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of an evil treasure brings forth evil things. Now let's focus on this, because what the enemy wants us to do is speak the negative words that he's putting in our heads, and he wants us to speak negative words where it will produce evil in our lives. Somebody say, I'm not speaking negative words. I'm not speaking idle words. Amen. And again, he says here, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Amen. So we have the power to be justified by our words. Amen. The greatest words that you can speak, are you ready for this? The greatest words that you can speak is the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. That is the greatest words any human being can ever speak on this planet, is the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we're going somewhere this morning. In Romans 8, 10, 6 through 13, this is a powerful verse. It says, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now Paul was saying this. He's saying, listen, don't try to go up to heaven to get Jesus to come down here. Don't try to go down to the bowels of the earth to bring him up. He's already done that. He's already been in the bowels of the earth. He already took the keys of death and hell from the devil. He's already risen. He's already seated in heavenly places. But he's saying here that the word of God, the powerful word of God, is not just up in the heavenlies, is not down in the abyss, but the words are right there in your mouth. That is the word of faith which you preach. Because all you are preachers. You say, I'm not a preacher. You are proclaimers. You're preaching something. Amen. You're talking about something. We're all called to preach. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a preacher. Amen. Amen. You're preaching on something, glory to God. I'm going to be preaching on that I'm victorious in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm not going to be speaking what the devil's doing in my life. So if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, verse 9, you will be saved. So this is key. I do this every week at the end of my service. I want to invite people to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so it says here, with the heart one believes in the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then it goes on to say this, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there's no distinction between Jew or Greek. The same Lord is over all, rich and all who call upon him. So I love that. And then it goes on to say, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, I'm telling you, one of the best prayers you can ever pray when you're dealing with issues and situations is a one-word prayer, Jesus.
Amen.
That, if everything else is falling apart, don't curse, amen. Just say Jesus, amen. My grandmother was at we were this was years ago. My grandmother was visiting, and she was we were in church. It was a Methodist church, and she was in her 80s, maybe in her early 90s. I'm not too sure how old she was. She was pretty up there, and she fell out at church. And she fell out and fainted or something. And my mom said, Jesus. And she came back up.
Amen.
Jesus. Somebody going to hit you in a car. Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody curses at you. Jesus.
Amen.
Somebody beats her horn. Jesus. You got to be calling out the name of Jesus. And the Bible says, you call on the name of Jesus, you shall be saved. What does that mean, saved? It means delivered from the powers of darkness in your life. You shall be saved. So confessing the lordship of Jesus Christ is a powerful thing that you can do to bring you out of death into life. So what I'm saying, you need to confess the lordship of Jesus Christ in every area of your life. You need to confess that Jesus is Lord over your relationships. That's the most important thing for Jesus to be Lord over is your relationships. That's the most important thing that we have is relationships. And number two, the second most important thing is your health. You got to start confessing Jesus is Lord over your health. Glory to God. Jesus, you need to start confessing Jesus is not just only your Savior, but Jesus is your healer.
Amen.
Confess Him, not just Savior, but confess Him as Jesus, you are my healer. And I like to go one more further nth degree. Lord, you are my soon coming King.
Amen.
Can I get a witness in the house today?
Amen.
So I declare Jesus Lord over, so you need to continue to declare that He's Lord over your relationships, over your health, and then number three, over your finances. Can I get a witness in the house today? I'm telling you, if Jesus is Lord over your finances, then you're going to have plenty of finances. You will lack nothing, and you will have abundance in every area of your lives. Do you believe that today? Those are the three key areas that we deal with: relationships, our health, and our finances. And if you got it all, you got Jesus Lord over all those areas, I'm telling you, you will have no problems. Amen? You'll be going somewhere to happen. So we need to continue to confess the lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. God's word spoken and acted on will cause abundant life to flourish in our lives. We don't have to wait to get to heaven before we experience the abundant life.
Amen.
There's a lot of people praying, and you hear messages, when we all get to heaven, then it's all going to be good and fine, and we're going to be, you know, in the sweet by and by when we finally get there. But until we get there, we got to suffer down here. No. There is some suffering to be down here, but I believe that we're supposed to be suffering in a victorious manner.
Amen.
Amen. In other words, God always brings us the victory through any suffering we go through.
Lord,
do you believe that today?
Amen.
I love that. And I love this because we got to get a hold of our words. And if you get a hold of speaking the right words over your circumstances, it will dramatically change your lives.
Amen.
Do you believe that today? In Mark 11, you've heard this before, but Jesus... Let's just read this. On the next day, he had come out to Bethany. Jesus, he was hungry. Seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see perhaps it would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. So this was a tree. I call it a hypocrite tree. It was professing to have fruit, but it had no fruit. It had the leaves, but it had no fruit. And it was trying, it was a hypocrite tree. And so Jesus cursed that tree. And then the next morning, as they passed by, in verse 20 to 24, the fig tree was dried up from the roots. And Peter remembered, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So what am I saying to you today? You need to start cursing that sickness that's attacking your body. You need to curse any sickness, anything that's coming against you. You need to curse it in the name of Jesus. That's okay to curse. And what I mean by that is not to say bad words, but I mean to tell sickness to die in your life. You command it to die, to cease to operate in your lives. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." You got to have faith that God's word works when you speak it. You got to have faith that God can back his word up 100%. Then he says, "For surely I say you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says." Now, I've said this before, and Brother Hagin got a revelation on this. The word "say" or "says," it says it three times in this verse. And the revelation you received from the Lord is you need to speak it three times more than you believe it. Are you speaking health three times more than what the devil's trying to hit you with sickness? Are you speaking it three times more? That means you got to confess it more than what the enemy's trying to do against your life. Don't, you know, and then you speak to the mountain and you command to be removed. Don't talk to God about how big your mountains are. Talk to the mountain on how big your God is. Amen. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? Talk to your mountain how big your God is. Amen. The mountain in our life represents the problems we deal with. And if we speak faith-filled words to our mountains, they will have to dissipate. Amen. I like what Jesus, what it says. Jesus says it this way, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do, for the Father may glorify the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Think about that. So if we're asking, which is words that being spoken out of our mouths, when we're asking anything in Jesus' name, that's it's God's will, he will make it come to pass. I'm going to say this, it's God's will for all of us to be healed. It's God's will for all of us to be prosperous. Thank God I got some amens here. It's God's will for each one of us to have rich, fulfilling relationships. Can I get a witness now today? So let me summarize. When we speak God's word for healing, we must confess that Jesus is Lord and healer over our lives. When we speak God's word for healing, we need to realize that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. When we speak God's word for healing, we need to confess no weapon formed against us shall prosper. When we speak God's word for healing, we need to confess that we are blessed, and what God has blessed, no man can curse. When we speak God's word for healing, we need to realize our words are likened to seeds planted in our hearts to receive a healing harvest. And when we speak God's word for healing, we must speak to our mountains of sickness and command them to go. And when we do these things, we will see healing in our lives. Did you receive it today? Amen. I think you did. I believe you did. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. And I thank you, Lord God, that we are speaking spirits. And I thank you, Lord God, that you allow us to use words to accomplish your will on this earth. And perhaps you're here in the audience, or perhaps you're watching, and maybe you never made a decision to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Well, today is a day of salvation. You may not have another opportunity. So I want to invite you to confess this simple prayer and mean it in your heart and you will have salvation in your life. Just say this: Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church. If you're here locally, come on out. Be a part of Exceed Life Church. If you're not here locally, go out and find a good church home that will help you grow in your faith in Christ. Thank you for tuning in.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.